tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
Last week's lesson was the Great Tribulation Part 1. We studied several different prophecies from the Bible foretelling the time called the Great Tribulation. We witnessed European mobs chanting, "Death to the Jews," and "Hamas, Hamas, Jews to the gas." We also explored the question, are we in the prelude to the Great Tribulation right now? Why should we learn about the Great Tribulation? One, all the signs indicate that this time is just ahead. Two, every person on earth is going to be affected by this most terrible time of persecution since the world began. Today, we will be talking about the Great Tribulation, Part 2. We will answer questions such as, what will the Great Tribulation be like? How will we know when the Great Tribulation has begun? How close are we to the mark of the beast? Most importantly, we will discuss what we should be doing since we know that the Great Tribulation is just ahead. End Times produced a DVD called Great Tribulation. It contains both parts 1 and 2 of this lesson. If you would like to obtain this DVD, simply call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. You can also order online at endtime.com. Now for our lesson, Great Tribulation, Part 2. Let's look at what the Great Tribulation will actually be like. It's going to be a time of world government. Daniel 7:23 says, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and watch, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces." So the Antichrist is going to dominate the entire world. Like I said earlier, though, there will be a few nations that will resist the Antichrist. He actually is going to be fighting wars during the final 3.5 years. Now, the Antichrist is going to form an alliance with a world religion. So we're going to have a world government and a world religion. The world government is depicted in Revelation chapter number 13, verse 1 through 8. The world government and its ruler, the Antichrist. But then in the latter part of the chapter, Revelation chapter 13, verse 11 through 14, it talks about another beast. It talks about a two-horned beast. And this beast, well, let me just read it to you. "He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." The second beast is the false prophet. The Bible says he looks like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. He looks like Jesus Christ, but he speaks like the devil. Do you realize the false prophet is going to be the world's leading Christian? This is going to be a time of great deception. So we've got to make sure that we inform the world as to what's coming and what they should do about it. Now, the Bible tells us that the false prophet will influence the world to pledge their allegiance and to worship the Antichrist. The Bible says the Antichrist will make war against all that oppose him. Revelation chapter 13, verse number 7. "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." This is talking about the time called the Great Tribulation. Now, the Bible teaches us that every person on earth that falls under the power of the Antichrist and his one world government will be required to pledge their allegiance to the Antichrist. Revelation 13:15 says it this way, "And he," the false prophet, "had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." So the false prophet is going to be a part of this unity of politics and religion. It's going to be a revival of the Holy Roman Empire. The Holy Roman Empire has always been ruled by a political leader from Europe and a spiritual leader every time from Italy. Study the Holy Roman Empire from 800 AD until 1800. For 1,000 years, they dominated Europe. Well, the Bible says the Holy Roman Empire is going to be reborn, and that's where the Antichrist and the false prophet. It's going to be the same picture, political leader, spiritual leader. Well, guess what? The Holy Roman Empire has now been reborn. It happened November the 3rd of 2009. Okay, now some will be killed during the Great Tribulation, perhaps many. However, there's going to be another form of pressure in order to force people to worship the Antichrist. It's called the Mark of the Beast. Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 through 17 describes it. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, those who do not pledge allegiance to the Antichrist will be placed under economic sanctions. In other words, if you refuse to pledge allegiance to the Antichrist and his one world government, they will not validate your number that's going to be required for buying and selling. Well, where are we right now in this whole scenario? Most nations today already have a national ID. Around 100 countries have compulsory national ID cards, and you've got to have these cards in order to function in their nation. As a matter of fact, if you're stopped by the police in a nation with a compulsory ID card, you will be immediately arrested if you don't have your card with you. Now, in addition to the 100 that have these compulsory cards, most other nations have voluntary national ID cards. Now, the U.S. is attempting to set up a national ID right now. America's always opposed the national ID. For example, back in 1981, Ronald Reagan was president at the time, and there was one of his cabinet members. They were trying to solve the immigration problem, much like we're trying to do right now. And the cabinet member came into the meeting that day and said, look, the only way to solve this is to give every person their own national ID number. That way, they can't hold jobs in America without this national ID. And if they can't hold jobs, they have no reason to come here. They have no way of supporting themselves. And when he made that proposal, Ronald Reagan quickly said, we're not doing that. That's the mark of the beast. That meeting is actually recorded in the congressional record. I looked it up for myself. Well, I don't think we've got a Ronald Reagan around here right now. I hope perhaps we do. But let's talk about where we are right now as far as the implementation of a national ID here in the United States of America. There was an act called the Real ID Act that was signed by President George W. Bush on May the 11th of 2005. Now, the Senate couldn't ratify this bill because a lot of opposition was in the Senate. They did not want to sign on to a national ID. Americans had resisted a national ID for 230 years. We don't want to be labeled and tracked and controlled. We don't want to be put in a database where the government can watch everything we do, everywhere we go. So there's a lot of pressure against this. So what did the politicians do? They slipped the Real ID Act that they knew they could not get through the Senate. They put it on the backside of a 1,000-page bill providing military appropriations for our troops that were in Iraq at the time. Well, it was a must-pass bill. The Senate voted 100-0 to pass it through, and President George W. Bush signed the Real ID Act. Well, opposition soon arose to the Real ID Act. End Time Ministries led the way. We actually published an entire magazine on the Real ID Act and sent it to every U.S. senator, every U.S. congressman, the president, the vice president. We sent it to every state senator, every state congressman, because we wanted to head this off. Well, as a result of our efforts and the efforts of many others, 25 states out of 50 passed laws or resolutions against implementing the Real ID. Now, the deadline for implementation was May the 11th of 2008. Well, that deadline was missed. All of the states were putting their heels in the sand saying, we're not going to participate in the Real ID, the National ID Act. Well, a new deadline was set December the 31st of 2009. That one, too, was missed. The states still would not comply. The next deadline was set May the 10th of 2011. Well, that deadline was missed as well. But the government, the federal government, is determined. They want this kind of power over every single individual in the United States of America. The next deadline was missed January the 15th of 2013. They've now set a new deadline, January the 15th, 2015. That one's going to be missed as well. So they have said January the 1st, 2016 is the absolute deadline. We're not going to give any further delays. We are going to enforce this right now. Now, one thing that's happening is the politicians are realizing they may never be able to enforce the Real ID Act because there's still so many states that just simply say, we're not going to do that. We're not going to sign on to a national ID that can track and control our citizens. So there's another plan that has come up called E-Verify. E-Verify is an internet-based free program run by the United States government that compares information from employees' employment eligibility verification form, I-9, to data from the U.S. government records. If the information matches, that employee is eligible to work in the United States. If there's a mismatch, E-Verify alerts the employer and the employee is allowed to work while he or she resolves the problem. They must contact the appropriate agency to resolve the mismatch within 8 federal government working days from the federal date. The program is operated by the Department of Homeland Security in partnership with the Social Security Administration. An article came out recently entitled Making E-Verify Mandatory. The Office of Management and Budget Directive mandates that all federal government agencies sign up to use E-Verify by October the 1st of 2007. This is long past and it's now been implemented. As of September the 8th of 2009, employers with federal contracts or subcontracts that contain the federal acquisition regulation E-Verify clause are required to use E-Verify to determine the employment eligibility of one employees performing direct substantial work under those federal contracts and two new hires organization-wide regardless of whether they are working on a federal contract or not. So since they realize they may not ever be able to implement the Real ID, now they're going up and say, well, let's do E-Verify then, and let's get all of the federal employees to doing it and the big contractors with work for the government, let's get them to doing it, and after a while, the whole United States of America will accept it. Well, the Senate passed an immigration bill in 2013, and you might know, embedded in this bill passed by the Senate was the E-Verify system, a national ID. Now, here's what it says. Implementing a system for all employers to verify electronically their workers' legal status. Notice it says all employers. The Senate passed it in 2013. So far, the House has refused to consider this bill. Now, what am I telling you? I am telling you, in the United States of America, the only thing between us and a national ID is a vote in the House of Representatives. Most recently, there's a lot of clamor and motive to pass an immigration bill. Will they pass it? That remains to be seen. But if they do, they'll probably pass the bill that's already been passed by the Senate. And if so, a national ID will be implemented in the United States of America. Now, that's showing us how close we actually are right now. I'm talking about the need to help people. We're on the prelude to the Great Tribulation right now. I don't know whether we've got 4 years left before the Great Tribulation begins, or 4.5 or 5, or I can't tell you for certain. But we're in the vicinity. And if we don't act right now, we won't have time when everything comes down. The Jews of Germany waited too late to get out, and as a result, they perished in the horrible Holocaust. Well, there's another Holocaust coming. That's the reason we've established another Jewish Holocaust Fund. We need to educate the Jews, tell them what's coming, and we intend to do that through television, through radio, through the internet. We need to teach them what they should do. And, well, let's just consider it this way. I was trying to think, how much do we need to raise to be ready for this Great Tribulation period to help the people that have to escape? And I thought, well, if we have 100,000 Jews and Christians that have to flee, and that's a low estimate, if we helped them at the rate of $1,000 each, that would be $100 million. I said, Lord, that's a huge amount of money. If I go before the people and ask for that, they're gonna think I'm crazy. But it's like God spoke back to me in my heart and said, is this needed now for my people? Are these unprecedented times? Well, yes. Then don't be afraid to ask for it. Now, I want to show you some more evidence. In Uganda, this article just appeared. Uganda, no job without a national ID card. Of course, no job, no buying and selling. The prophecy says every person will have to have a national ID or some kind of a mark in order to be able to buy or sell. If you don't buy or sell, of course, if you have no job, you can't buy or sell. The Observer on August the 6th of 2013 said it this way. Ugandans without the newly introduced national identity cards will not qualify for employment, education, travel, or health care in the country, government recently announced. Issuance of national IDs kicked off last month in Kololo. Now, the same technology is being planned right now for the United States of America. Now, this article comes from Find Biometrics on July the 9th of 2014. A national electronic ID card by 2018. In 5 years' time, half of the world's population will have a chip-based national electronic ID card, including near complete regional coverage. Notice this, in Europe, says Acuity principal Maxine Most. The electronic ID platform will encourage significant expansion of e-government services and provide the foundation for the development of national and global trusted authentication infrastructures. Now remember, the Antichrist power base will be Europe. It says that especially in regional Europe, this is going to happen. In The Blaze on July the 20th of 2014, this article appeared. Cashless society, closer than you think. Is cash becoming extinct? A growing number of economists and financial experts are saying a cashless society isn't far off. A recent survey reveals that 78% of Americans carry with them less than $50 at any given time. Another 10% say they don't carry dollar bills or change at all. Apple just came out with new iPhones that make the cashless society possible. When you're buying something, you just point your iPhone at the terminal, you put your fingerprint on the button at the bottom of the iPhone, and immediately it's paid. The merchant never is able to see your card number, even your name. So consequently, ID theft is going to be greatly reduced at that time. Now, as we're continuing on here, it's so important to realize that this Touch ID with Apple is a cutting-edge technology that some people think will actually sweep the United States of America into the cashless society. All right. Let me go take you now to Zimbabwe. In Zimbabwe, they have a system called Econet, and it looks like it's going to usher Zimbabwe into being the first cashless society. This comes from the Guardian Professional on August the 18th of 2014. Here's what it says. Will Zimbabwe be Africa's first cashless society? Telecommunications company and now mobile banking service Econet Wireless predicts that in less than 12 months, notes and coins will be long gone from this southern African country. We do not expect anyone to still be using paper money in a year's time, the company's CEO, Douglas Mobowini, recently said. Now, what about in the United States of America? The Federal Drug Administration actually approved computer chips for humans. This is from NBC News on October the 13th of 2004. Medical milestone or privacy invasion. A tiny computer chip approved Wednesday for implantation in a patient's arm can speed vital information about a patient's medical history to doctors and hospitals. But critics warn that it could open new ways to imperil the confidentiality of medical records. In Fox News, August the 30th of 2014, this article appeared. Is there a microchip implant in your future? You can inject one under your skin and no one will ever notice, the article said, using short-range radio frequency identification signals, RFID. It can transmit your identity as you pass through a security checkpoint or walk into a football stadium. It can help you buy groceries at Walmart. In a worst-case scenario, if you are kidnapped in a foreign country, for example, it could save your life. Now, microchip implants, like the ones pet owners use to track their dogs and cats, could become commonplace in humans in the next decade. So, will microchip implants in humans become mandatory? Is this the way the Mark of the Beast is going to be implemented? Well, the benefits of this technology are very seductive. No more having to carry and worry about losing numerous credit cards and other forms of identification. No more fumbling for them when performing transactions. A wave of the hand will take care of everything. Once you get an implanted chip, no more showing passports when you travel or your driver's license to a policeman. And since microchipping would facilitate a cashless society, there'd be no more worries about cash lost or theft. So, will microchip implants become mandatory? The New American on May the 3rd of 2014 said this. Dr. Mark Gasson of the UK's University of Reading says concerning the implanted RFID chip, it has the potential to change the very essence of what it is to be human. He believes that microchips acceptance will mirror that of mobile phones and that a situation will develop wherein it will be such a disadvantage not to have the implant that it will essentially not be optional. Okay. So the Great Tribulation, that's our subject today. How close are we? The Great Tribulation will begin 3.5 years after a peace agreement between Palestinians and Israelis. In about a month from the time of this recording, Palestinians will ask the UN to mandate a peace agreement in the Middle East. Now, right now, because Israel is unwilling to surrender Jerusalem and says we're not going to surrender Jerusalem, even the U.S. is threatening to distance itself from Israel. That brings us down to this question. What should we be doing? Well, number one, we need to evangelize the world by preaching the prophecies of the Bible concerning the events that lie just ahead. The material in this lesson needs to be worldwide. John 14, 29, Jesus said, "And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it does come to pass, you might believe." So we need to pray for Jews. We need to pray for Christians that are right now coming under persecution. And believe me, it's going to escalate. We need to help Jews and Christians to immigrate to Israel or the United States. Here's a prophecy for the end time. Daniel 11, 32. "And such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he, the Antichrist, corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God are going to be strong and do exploits." Think of it. Exploits. Well, it's time for those exploits right now. We need to help Jews and Christians from Europe and around the world that are coming under increasing pressure to immigrate to Israel or to the United States. We need to educate Jews and Christians concerning what is coming. We need to help them. We need to teach them what they should do. Okay, let's just say, and I've said this before, but I want to drill it into your hearts. Let's say 100,000 Jews and Christians have to flee for their lives during the Great Tribulation. Somebody needs to help them, and we can do it. And if it takes $1,000 per family, and there were 100,000 families needing our help, that'd be $100 million. A huge amount of money. But the government spends that and more than that every day. They're spending money to enslave the world. Why don't we spend money to free the world? So I'm asking you right now. It's needed. It's a dire need. If you're out there and you love God, you love Christians, you love the Jewish people, they gave us our Bible, they gave us our Messiah. Now's our chance to help them. I'm asking you today, make the very largest donation that you possibly can. Call us at 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. Or else you can go to endtime.com. Let's do some exploits. Let's do God's will. Let's help God's people around the world. We can do it by God's grace. We're going to do it.
This is WHSG-TV, Monroe, Georgia, licensed to Trinity Christian Center of Santa Ana, Incorporated. WHSG-TV also provides the Church Channel, Juice, TBN Enlace, Smile of a Child, and TBN Salsa Program Services.
Your continued support is an important part in helping us take the gospel around the world.
Victoria and I love being a part of the TBN family. Thanks for letting us come into your homes. We pray God's very best for you and your family.